والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So the London Olympics are about to begin in a couple of weeks' time. And if you ask anyone who has anything to do with the Olympic Games, they'll tell you that planning for the Olympics has been going on for years. And those who are most affected by it, so the athletes, the residents who live in London, England, the corporate sponsors, the broadcasters, the organizers, they've all known for a very long time that the London Games are going to begin on July 27th, 2012, and they've been getting ready for it. Some of you may have found out right now, and that's because perhaps you really don't care about the Olympics, and you don't have anything much to do with it. Others will find out when the games start and they turn on their TV expecting their regular show, and then they find out that it's being preempted by some sporting event. Others may not even realize it then. Right? They will realize it maybe after it has happened. Or they might not even realize it at all, and it won't matter to them. Right? It will have no effect on them whatsoever. The fact that the Olympics happened, and that they didn't know about it, and that they're over now, when they're over, that will have no effect on them, and it will not matter one bit. Similar is the case of the month of Ramadan. The more a person is connected, for whatever reason, with the blessed month, the more earlier it's noticed, and the more earlier the preparations start. Right? So our pious predecessors, they would start preparing for Ramadan, they would start thinking about Ramadan, praying about Ramadan, for Ramadan, 6 months in advance. 6 months in advance, they would start thinking about Ramadan, they would start making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He keeps them alive, so that He gives them the opportunity to reach the month of Ramadan. Now, if you are someone who operates a tour group, an Umrah group for example, if you take people for Umrah, you have in your mind the date for Ramadan, because you know that that's a time when a lot of people want to go, because there's a lot of virtue associated with that. The Prophet ﷺ has said that the reward for offering an Umrah in the month of Ramadan is equal to that of Hajj. Okay. Now that doesn't mean that if you do Umrah in Ramadan, you don't have to do Hajj anymore. No, it doesn't discharge the obligation. But the reward is so great, the virtue is so great, that the Prophet ﷺ has compared it to a Hajj. One of the reasons for that is, we know that the reward for any good deed in Ramadan is multiplied by many times. Right? According to one report of the Prophet ﷺ, by 70 times. Right? So if you do Umrah in Ramadan, it's like the reward of 70 Umrahs, and the Prophet ﷺ has said it's like doing Hajj. If you're someone who sells dates, if you're a date wholesaler, you know Ramadan. You know the date well in advance. You know the date when people are going to want dates, right? So you keep that in your mind in advance, because you know that's when sales are going to go up. If you're someone who prints calendars, or you're a printer, you do a lot of business for Muslim customers, for masajid, for organizations, you know when Ramadan is coming up, right? Because you're going to need paper, you need ink, orders are going to be coming in. Right, so for example, the Canadian Council on American Islamic Relations, CARICAN, has very graciously and generously, mashallah, printed calendars for Ramadan timetables for Kingston for the first time. They do that for major cities. So Kingston is now a major city on their list anyway. So they've sent us a bunch of calendars. So they're outside, so please pick one up on your way out. They're pretty neat actually, I like them quite a bit. Even supermarket chains here, right? So if you're in the marketing department of major supermarkets, you note down Ramadan, right? So the fact that it says Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem in the No Frills and Freshco and all those flyers, it's not an accident. They didn't realize that last week that, oh, Ramadan's coming up, we should have some specials. No. This was something that somebody in the marketing department penciled down, jotted down, took a note of months in advance, perhaps even a year in advance, to say that, okay, this is when our Ramadan sales have to start. Right? Recently I was contacted by a reporter with the Canadian Press doing the story on Muslim athletes and whether or not they need to fast while they're competing in the Olympics, right? So again, this was a few weeks ago, right? Before many of us even started thinking about Ramadan. the supporter called me and reminded me that yes, Ramadan is actually around the corner. Right? Why? Because, you know, they're trying to do good journalism, they're trying to cover different stories from different angles. The question is, how much have we prepared for the month of Ramadan? Right? Others may be preparing for Ramadan because there's money to be made. Right? So if you're a supermarket chain, you're a group operator, there's money to be made, there's business to be done. Organizations are planning for Ramadan because they know people will donate in Ramadan a lot. Right, and you need to go around, especially if you go to the larger cities like Toronto. Right, entire schedule for the month of Ramadan is booked in advance for donations for every single day at different masajid. Right, because it's because people know that, you know, people will be coming out in numbers and they'll be ready to donate. But for the believer, but for each of us, this is the opportunity of the year when the rewards of good actions are multiplied, like I said, by 70 times, if not more. According to one report. So we've got to be excited about this. We need to realize this and we've got to feel something about this. Because if your employer told you that you will get not double or triple pay, but you'll get, you know, 70 times more for working for 30 days, who wouldn't want to do it? You do 30 days straight. Forget 30, you do 60 days straight. Right? If somebody told you that you're gonna get paid instead of $10 an hour, you get 700 times, right? 70 times more, right? $700 an hour, of course you would do it, right? Everyone would do it. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is multiplying, right? Then imagine the rewards. Imagine the rewards. You pray once, you get the reward of 70 prayers or more, right? If you give $10 in charity, it might not seem like a lot. But you give $10 in charity and the reward of giving that is as if you've given $700. Subhanallah. Right, think about that. Isn't that an amazing deal? Right, you pray five times a day. Right? And you get 70 times more reward for each of those prayers. Right? You pray one nafil prayer, one optional prayer, and that, you know, the reward of that is bumped up. Anything you do, anything good you do, the reward for that is boosted. Right? It's bumped up. So this is an amazing deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And it's a special time of mercy. Right? A person will not enter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that a person will not enter paradise on account of his or her deeds. Right? Now of course we need to do good deeds and we try to do everything that's good. We try to avoid things which are bad. Right? But if you're sitting at home with a little chart and you're marking off, you know, every single prayer you've done, every single fast you've done, right, every single penny you've given in charity and trying to say, okay, well if I do the math, you know, I should have 2 million good deeds, so I'm pretty good for going into paradise. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that no person will enter paradise on account, solely on account of his or her deeds. Right? What is it that's going to allow us to enter paradise? That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Yes, we do good deeds. We follow the commandments of Allah so that we can attain His mercy. So that His mercy gets activated and gets beamed at us. Right? And if that mercy comes our way, then we're good. Right? But if we do good deeds, thinking that, you know, we're really good at this and we're very confident, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for some reason that perhaps our deeds weren't good enough, or there was some problem, there was some flaw, right? And that they're not actually worth as much as we thought they were worth. Then we have a problem. Then we have a problem. So what's the lesson? We need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single one of us desperately, desperately needs the mercy of Allah if we want to be successful. And this is a time of special mercy, the month of Ramadan. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ رَمَضَانُ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمَ. Right, the Ramadan begins, the gates of mercy, and according to some narration, the gates of Jannah are opened, the gates of hell, of Jahannam, are closed. وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And the devils, the shayateen, are chained up. Right? Because this is a special time of mercy, right? So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always available to us, but in Ramadan, it is intensified. Right? The signal is intensified, and we need to work to make sure that we catch on to that signal. And of course, Ramadan is a month of fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed in the Quran as a remedy for the believers. that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That what you believe, observe fasting that is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. Right? So it's not something which is unique to our ummah, to our nation, to our community. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed to those before us, and the whole objective, the purpose of the whole exercise is what? So that we can increase our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So that you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't backbite, you don't lie, you don't cheat. Right? You stay away from all of these things only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to stay away from them. Right? Even when no one is watching. Right? No one's got a security camera on you 24/7. Right? So there can be times where you can sneak a little sip. You can carry a little granola bar or a candy bar. Well, don't do a candy bar, it's gonna melt. But you could carry, you know, something, some candy or whatever, right, in your pocket. You could pop it in your mouth. No one's going to know. No one's going to know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And that's the reason why you don't do that. Right? You stay away from that. So that's the purpose. That's the God consciousness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to build inside us. That when we know that no one's watching us, still we are not going to do things because we know Allah doesn't want us to do them. Right? Or we're going to do things even though no one is watching, only because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do that. Right? So it appears to be a diet of no food, no drink, no marital relations, right? So that's what we think fasting to be as. But it's also, it is that, but it's also a lot more, right? It's a diet for the soul. It's a diet for the soul. A means of taming it by depriving the nafs, our inner self, right? Of the things that it desires, depriving it so that what it wants is solely for the pleasure of Allah. Right? So our nafs, our inner self, our desires, they always want us to do things. A lot of times those things are things which Allah does not want us to do. Right? So by keeping our desires in check, right, by depriving our bodies of the basic things that they require, the necessities like food and drink, right, we can learn to control ourselves. We can learn to control our temptations. Right, so that we're not just like animals that when we see something we want to bite. Right? You see something you like, you want to go buy it. You see something that looks enjoyable to look at, you want to look at it. You hear something that sounds good, you want to hear it, and you just do it. No. That's not how human beings that's not how believers should be. Right? Those are animal instincts. Right? Those are animal instincts. The animal sees something, sees another animal, it's hungry, it attacks. Right? It wants food, it doesn't care, it'll get it. Right, there's a story of a bear that broke into someone's cottage. Right, ransacked through the fridge, took out peanut butter, and went through the cupboards and ate cookies and everything, and then left. Right, bear doesn't care; it's hungry. It's looking for food. It'll go anywhere. Right, but as human beings, we've got to learn to restrain ourselves so that we just don't go after anything when we feel like going for it. When you think about it, you know, how many times in the past year have you backbited? How many times have we denied people their rights? How many times have we lied or seen and listened to things that we weren't supposed to listen to, or cheated others? Right? We think that we're doing something perfectly fine. We come up with some sort of justification, but if we really stand in front of the mirror and ask ourselves, look ourselves in the eye, we know we've cheated someone. We know we've lied about someone. Right? But we try to convince ourselves otherwise. So how many times have we done that? How many times have we fought with our spouses, setting a bad example for our children? How many times have we been violent with one another? Or acted inappropriately on the internet when we thought no one was looking? On our phones, on our iPhones, and our iPads, when we thought no one was around? And we consumed material which was inappropriate. How many times have we felt proud? The Prophet ﷺ has warned us that no one, even with an iota, with a speck of pride, will enter paradise, will enter Jannah. How many times have we thought that we were better than someone else? That's pride. Right? So these are things to think about. So that's, my brothers and sisters, is the mindset, the things we need to remember when we go into Ramadan. So this is our chance. What's coming up is our chance. Right? You have the 30-minute weight loss centers. This is the 30-day cleansing plan. To purify your souls. Right? 30 days to purify our souls, to clean ourselves. And we've got to be successful. Inshallah, we will be if we go in with sincere intention, if we go in with sincere effort, inshallah, we will be successful. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that whoever fasts during Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, with faith and seeking a reward from Allah, seeking a good reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his past sins. Whoever prays during the nights of Ramadan, yes, it may be late. Yes, it may be long. Yes, it may be more tempting to go outside, kids. It may be more tempting to go outside on the swings or to go play basketball in the parking lot at 11:30 at night when the neighbors are trying to go to sleep. Please don't do that again this year. Okay? It may be more tempting to do all of those things. But Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling us, whoever prays during the nights of Ramadan with faith, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have his or her past sins forgiven. And he who passes Laylatul Qadr, the special night, in prayer with faith and seeking his reward from Allah, Allah will have the past sins forgiven. Inshallah. Inshallah. So there is a lot to gain. There is a lot to gain. And there's a lot of stake as well. So it would be wise for us to prepare for that. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us the ability and the understanding, perhaps we have already started preparing, which is very good. But still there is time. Right? We're less than a week away from Ramadan, but we still have some time. So let's use this time. Let's use these opportunities to prepare. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have making dua, to have started making dua, to pray, to start praying 2 months in advance. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That, oh Allah, make the months of Rajab and Sha'ban blessed for us, and let us reach the month of Ramadan. Even reaching the month of Ramadan is a big thing. Right? The fact that you're alive on Friday, the coming Friday inshallah, and you get to witness the month of Ramadan, that in itself is a huge blessing. Because there are people who have passed away today. There are people who have passed away yesterday. There are people who are going to pass away on Thursday and will not get to enter the month of Ramadan. Right? So the fact that you make it there alive is a big blessing in itself. Right? We make dua for that. Then inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us among those who witness the blessed month this year and for many years to come. Inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start getting ready by fasting beforehand. Right? He would get ready, start fasting beforehand. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, the Prophet, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْتَكْمَلَ صِيَامَ شَهْرٍ إِلَّا رَمَضَانَ. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never fasted an entire month other than Ramadan, and I haven't seen him fast more than he did in Sha'ban. So in the month before Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast a lot. Would fast a lot before that. Right? Because there's special virtues in Sha'ban, but also to get ready for the month of Ramadan. Right? So you don't walk into fasting all cold turkey. Right? You just go in there like you haven't prepared for anything. It's like going to a race. Right? Are there any athletes going to the Olympics who haven't trained? Like you just show up, it's like, yeah, let me get on a flight to London, I'll compete for my country. No one does that. Right? Nobody does that. Because you know that it's going to require strength. You know it requires practice, some preparedness, some preparation. So you've got to start in advance. So we still have some days to practice to avoid that shock. To avoid the shock next Friday, fasting, there are a few days in between where we can practice. So from a practical point of view, here are some ideas, here are some things we can do. Okay? So the first thing you can do is space out your meals. Okay? Because if you're used to having breakfast at 8 a.m., and then lunch at noon, and then dinner at 6, you're going to be in trouble. Right? If you haven't prepared. Because Fajr time is going to begin in Kingston the first day at 3:59 a.m. Okay? So your fast is going to start before 4 a.m. And iftar, you're going to break your fast at 8:43 p.m. the first day. Okay? If you think that's long, all you need to do is go north a bit. Okay? Go to cities like Edmonton, right? I was there a month ago or so, right? Go to other cities and you'll see how long the fasts are, okay? So always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there will be places where it's shorter as well, but we try our best, inshallah. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us, right? But we need to start preparing as well. We need to think about this, okay? So a good idea is to start spacing out your meals, right? having an earlier breakfast, right? Maybe starting to cut down on the lunch, or you know, or avoiding it altogether, delaying dinner if possible, right? So your body can start getting used to it. Cut down the addictions, right? If you're somebody who needs 3 cups of coffee a day or 4 smokes a day, right? You're also going to be in trouble, right? Because there's going to be huge withdrawal anyway. Okay, so you want to start cutting down on that as well. Maybe move from, you know, strong regular coffee to decaf or whatever. Just start, you know, trying to cut down a bit. Inshallah. And that way we can start weaning off those addictions, so that when Friday comes along, right, we don't see you at Jummah like this, right? Because you haven't had your cup of coffee in the morning or that smoke before Jummah. If you can quit altogether, then even better. You want to adjust your schedule, right? Your sleep schedule, because your entire sleep is going to be shaken, right? And your energy level will be fluctuating during the day. Right, so you want to, if possible, plan your work hours. If you have the flexibility, you want to plan your work hours in advance, your holidays in advance, if you still have the time to do that. So you can maintain a good balance between work performance and worship performance. Right, that's very important. Right, because you don't want to go to work, right, with no energy and you're not able to perform, and you're like, yeah, it's Ramadan, what can I do? Right, that's not what you want to show people. That's not, you know, what Ramadan is supposed to be like. Right, so you want to balance it out, so that you can have a good balance between the responsibilities you need to discharge, as well as the acts of worship that you like to do. Also seek medical advice, and this is very important, right? If you have health issues, right? Like I said, the fast is approximately almost 17 hours long, right? If you have medical issues, if you have illnesses, no, you should know that fasting is obligatory, but not at the expense of your health. Right, if fasting is not an excuse, right, that, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I got a cold, I can't fast today. No, I'm not talking about that, right? But if you have serious illnesses, right, if you have serious health issues, and it can, and fasting for such a long period of time can have serious, you know, adverse effects to your health, you should, you know, get that checked out. So if it's still possible, you know, talk to a doctor, consult a doctor, preferably, if possible, a Muslim doctor who understands the importance of fasting, and find out, you know, if there's a strong possibility that fasting and not taking medication, for example, for long hours will be damaging for your health, right? And if that is the case, if that's the advice you get, then speak to someone, speak to a scholar, speak to an imam, and find out what you should do. Get organized as well, right? Because physical energy and your brain power is going to be at a premium in Ramadan, right? So for those who are, you know, busy cooking or planning meals, it's good to do that in advance. Your Ramadan, your Eid, you know, grocery lists, organizing your closets, picking out your Eid clothes, figuring out your finances, anything else that you know you're going to have to do anyway during Ramadan, it's a good way, it's a good time to figure all that out a week before Ramadan, right? So that when Ramadan comes around, you're not worried about these things, especially in the last 10 days, right? Because what happens, like, oh, Ramadan's here, yes, okay, we have time, and then you get to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, which are even more blessed, which are even more important, and then you're like, oh no, Eid is coming along, right? Gotta buy gifts for everyone. I have to send Eid cards. Well, nobody sends those anymore, right? So I have to send emails, right, whatever those, Eid greeting cards. You know, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to prepare for the party, well, and then, you know, the last 10 days are gone like this. Right, so this is the time to think about these things, so that you can preserve the valuable moments in the month of Ramadan. And finally, try to find some material, right? Especially for the adults, the parents here, find some material, some good books, some good literature that you can read to your children, to your family. You can have a small halaqa. You can sit together, right? You can teach your children about something. You can all sit together and learn about something, and make it something regular at a certain time, so that the children understand that yes, there is, you know, something serious going on here, and there's different ways of benefiting from the month of Ramadan. When it comes to the spiritual preparedness, to be spiritually prepared, right? You want to start making dua, right? You want to start making dua because, you know, Ramadan is a time when, inshallah, a lot of our prayers or supplications will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want to get used to that, right? If you're not used to making dua, right? If you're not used to making dua, it's going to be very hard. So get used to making dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a list of du'as that you want to make. That helps. You know, think about this timing, the setting. Where's the best place to make dua? Right? So that it's not like a drive-thru where you just go in, boom, you make 2 seconds of dua and you walk out. Right? So they have a serious setting where you can sit down, you have the time, you have the energy, and you can concentrate, and you can really talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Like seriously talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And cry. Right, cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We think it's hard to do, especially men, boys. You're thinking, okay, Imam Song wants us to cry, he wants us to be babies. No, right? Crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is very valuable. It's something which is very valuable. There's nothing unmanly about that. Right? This is something we should all be trying to do, inshallah. Right? And ponder and reflect. If it helps in softening your heart, so that you're actually able to cry, think and ponder about all your sins, the things, you know, which can affect you in the hereafter, about your grave. Think about all of these things too, so that it can soften your heart, make it easier to cry, inshallah. Reconnect with the Qur'an. Right? Ramadan is, among other things, the month of the Qur'an. Right? A time when reciting the Qur'an, listening to the Qur'an is more meritorious. You don't want to be suffering from withdrawal once you increase your Qur'an intake. Right? If you're not used to reciting Qur'an, if you're not used to listening to the Qur'an, right? All you're used to listening on your iPod is music, right? All you're used to listening when you're driving is music, right? Or when you're on the computer is music, or whenever you're going anywhere is music. If you try to switch to Qur'an all of a sudden, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So you want to start that transition where you want to start phasing out that music, or the less beneficial readings, or the things you view or listen to, and start making more time for the Qur'an. Explore the different reciters. Explore the different surahs. Explore their translations. See which ones, you know, really have an effect on you. Which one is really beautiful. And subhanAllah, there are some very, very beautiful recitations of the Qur'an. Right? When I went to that music class at Queen's to give a lecture on music in Islam, that was fine. I played recitation of the Qur'an. Right? In the room, I wasn't sure if I should or not. My wife told me you should. She's like, never underestimate the power of the Qur'an. Right? And people were impressed. They're impressed by the recitation of the Qur'an. They're impressed by the adhan. They're impressed by anashid. Right? Because they're spiritual, they have value. They're not just hollow words. Just random lyrics that somebody has put together because they sound nice and don't make any sense. No. Right? This is powerful. This is from our Lord. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So put some value to it. Start listening to it. Inshallah. If you have any fast that you need to make up, if you missed some fast last year, right? Last Ramadan, for some reason, it should be made up ideally before the coming Ramadan. If you don't have enough time to do that right now, fine. Inshallah, right after Ramadan or whenever it's possible. But we should remember that whenever we miss a fast, we should try to make up for it as soon as possible. And finally, try to seek knowledge about the month of Ramadan, the rules and regulations about fasting, right? The virtues, the history, and so on and so forth. So inshallah, we will be having a lecture, a small program on Tuesday. Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. inshallah here, entitled Welcome to Ramadan. Okay, so the Welcome to Ramadan program inshallah will be 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday here at the ICK inshallah. You know, when people go on vacation, and they're doing that in summer especially, you know, we don't think much about spending, right? We make a budget perhaps, but when we go, we're like, okay, yes, you know, the kids want to go to, you know, Disney, you want to go to this attraction, you want to go to Universal Studios. So if you go to Orlando, beautiful city inshallah, right? But then you have all these attractions you want to go to, right? You might want to make sure you go to all the Disney parks, right? They're trying to sell you, trying to get you to upgrade to all the parks all for, you know, a week, whatever. Right? Universal Studios here, there. You're trying to do all these attractions. Even though it may cost a bit, you're like, oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We only make this trip so many, you know, only once, whatever, every 10 years. Let's go out and spend. It's okay, right? So this is our spiritual retreat, right? So we don't want to be thinking too much about ourselves, our wants, our desires. Right, but rather you want to just try to devote as much as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this may be our last opportunity. Right? Nobody has any guarantees. I may not be around next Ramadan. I may not even here for next Ramadan. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may call me back. Right? So if Allah has given us the opportunity, let's try to take every moment, right? Every opportunity, every possible moment that we can take to devote ourselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we don't let it go to waste. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me that ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. May He give you the ability to use every second of the month of Ramadan for something which is beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to witness the month, to live through the month this year and many years to come, and to take full advantage of it as He would like us to. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.